Oh, hey, look who walked in. Look who's here. John Best.
Hello,
fresh off his
podcast people.
Exactly. Fresh off his keynote here at the CUNA Technology Council Conference. Oh, and there's also the Operations and Member Experience Council Conference.
Yes.
Two for one.
Two for one. Yeah. Operations and tech here. Always a great conference.
Indeed. They complement each other.
Really good. I really liked it here. I thought this was one, you know, they are always good conferences, but this particular facility was very nice. I felt like there was a lot of good interaction that went on here, which is one of the best things about all conferences.
Which is one thing that you brought up in your talk was about collaboration. And that was one of the big takeaways that I got was in order to kind of defend against the disruptors, we have to collaborate, right?
Absolutely.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
So yeah, all the new technologies that are coming out are dependent upon scale, right? And so if you think about AI, you think about data analytics, the challenge is that, and you may have heard me mention the three V's of analytics.
Yes, so
the three V's of analytics are volume, variety, and velocity, right? Volume and variety is actually really important to get, you know, better outcomes or more intuitive outcomes. And the challenge is that as Kradians, we think we have a lot of data, which we do. In general, we have a lot of data, but in terms of volume compared to someone like Facebook or Google or some of these other disruptors or Apple, we have just a drop in the bucket. And so we're going to have to collaborate together because we can create scale together. And all the new technologies, all the things that are coming out are highly dependent upon scale. So, for example, data analytics is a great example of scale. If we really want to do, so for example, CECL, right? So CECL is going from incurred loss to expected loss, which in analytics terms really goes from descriptive to predictive. And so becoming predictive is difficult because to predict means, you know, just by definition, you're going to need a larger volume of data. Because, you know, economics majors will tell you, you know, what happened yesterday is what's going to happen tomorrow, which will happen, you know, the day after that. But not if something changes from an environmental standpoint, right? And so predicting those environmental standpoints, you know, means we have to have outside data. So there's a couple portions of that where collaboration makes sense. One, purchasing outside data is expensive. Better to purchase it together. Two, combining all our data will actually give us better results.
Oh, no doubt.
In terms of expected loss. You look at someone like, you can go out to, you know, SoFi, which is definitely starting to, intrude on the Ukrainians' lending areas. Lending Club's been doing that. It's a straight-up hockey stick. All of those guys have a huge pool of data because they're national under one umbrella. So that's what I mean by that, is this collaborative model is actually going to work in our favor.
Right.
And the good news is, for a long time, there weren't technology tools to help you do this, but folks like OnApproach here, their data lake, you know, that is the exact example of collaboration of what I'm talking about, because the outcomes and the intuitions that you'll get from this will be far better than by yourself.
Yeah. Why not use one of Credit Union's greatest resources, our collaborative efforts, to stave off this this threat that's coming in? All right, you covered in your talk, which was called Creating a Data-Driven Culture, data analytics use cases. Number one was fraud reduction. And you used Netflix as an example. I thought that was really, really cool. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so when we talk about outliers, we're looking for things that, you know, obviously buck a trend, right?
Right.
So in this case, we were working with some credit unions, and we discovered a whole bunch of Netflix transactions for $40. How can you get a $40 Netflix transaction? How much does it cost per month for Netflix?
You were saying $7.99 or
something. $7.99. Yeah. So how would you get that? Because you can't go on Netflix and buy anything.
Right.
You can't buy the movies. You can't pay extra for this. It's literally a flat $7.99. So if we know that, why would we not have a process to even look for, why would we even let that go through, if you think about it? Why would it be let, you know, a Netflix transaction come through for $40? Well, because it was a fraudulent Netflix transaction.
Right.
So these are called outliers.
Okay.
There are lots of outliers we can look for, things that happen outside our normal trends. We just have to discover them, but more importantly, react to them. Right? So when you see them, you have to have a plan to do something. Okay. Someone has to be accountable, you know, to track that down. So That's a big piece of the fraud. And, you know, this has been going on for a long time with, you know, great companies doing fraud reductions around data analytics and digital, but it's time to extend it to the entire organization.
I liked your analogy, too, of how we build a 10-foot wall, but they build an 11-foot ladder. It's just this constant...
It's this constant fight, and it's never-ending. You know, in the book, I talk about the first caveman, right? He finds a shiny rock, and he takes it back, and he thinks, ooh, my shiny rock. He sets it down somewhere. not thinking that another caveman takes it. So next time he hides the shiny rock, but he's not smart enough to watch that caveman's watching again. Right. So it's just continuous, right? You know, and, you know, it started with them, I'm sure, with a shiny rock.
Yeah. And let's go to number two here. Regulatory compliance. And this is where we talked about. You talked about CECL.
Yeah.
The three V's of data. And, you know, the number one defense is our collaboration.
We just discussed that. Yeah. Just to recap on that. You know, the CECL is just the tip of the iceberg. You look at HMDA, the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act. You look at even one of the challenges we talked about was separation of duties for employees. My sister-in-law Tracy, if she's watching this, hi Tracy. Who is she's currently the branch manager over at Ent, mm-hmm. and she can't help me, which is fair. It shouldn't be because she's my family. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our credit union members all have family that are members, right? How do you work around that? How are you making sure you're in compliance there?
Okay.
You look at a lot of the other CFPB rules that have been out there. There's just plenty of opportunity around regulatory compliance for analytics. We talked about rates. So a lot of people have loans where they've given you a rate based on the fact that you're doing an auto payment. Mm-hmm. So they know that you don't have to do it. That's where people maybe have a few lates. But then, someone will go into home banking and turn off that recurring loan, but yet the rate doesn't change on the loan. So that's a great opportunity with analytics to say, okay, let's look at the loans that are based on rates and make sure that recurring is still on. So lots of things like that.
Okay, numero tres here. Driving revenue. I thought this was really often. There's a company called AlphaRank. Do you want to mention, give those guys a quick plug? Because you mentioned them a lot in there. And then how they kind of weed out the influencers.
Driver. So AlphaRank is this disgusting... by a good-looking young kid who came up with a company that I wish I had been smart enough to figure out when I was his age. So if you're listening, Brian, you make me want to vomit.
In a good way.
Well, maybe. But no, in a good way. The kid's brilliant. But basically, he discovered that, rather than marketing to the entire organization and trying to do things, it turns out there are certain people who influence others. Mm-hmm. And so... it's interesting because I would say with a large just mass population, I don't know how true that would be or how it would work out, but with us being so seg-oriented and Crayons having common bonds, I do believe there's opportunity. So for example, say there's an executive somewhere at a good example, a client of mine, Kurt Lewin and Deer, fantastic group. Deer employees are their people. So there are probably people inside of Deer who are more influencers culturally than other people. So you go to them, let's say you have a new lending product or a new digital product you want to kick off. Mm-hmm. Rather than shotgunning marketing to all these, everybody in the world, you really spend a lot of time with the influencers. And what AlphaRank can do is discover those influencers based on your data.
Wow.
It's brilliant.
Wow.
It's brilliant.
And so that's, for a marketer, oh my gosh, that's gold.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking, I mentioned mergers, right?
Yeah.
So if you're doing a merger, and we actually have a cool product that goes with it. So Brian and I have been talking about this. So we're about to launch a product called Message Fountain. Mm-hmm. What Message Fountain is a stupid, simple thing. It's a phone number that anybody can text questions to, and your staff can answer it. Any question.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what. We got the idea from the hotels, right? Yeah. You ever check into a hotel lately, like a Hilton, where they say, here's a text, you could just text, right?
Yeah, this one.
This one.
The Biltmore.
Yeah. So we were like, hey, why can't we do this for credit unions? Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, what I love about simple ideas is people take and come up with better ideas around them. Mm-hmm. So one of our credit unions said, we're doing a merger. We're going to set up a number, actually two, mm-hmm. one for the members. Here's a special number for just those merger members that they can ask any questions.
Oh my gosh.
And here's one for the staff in case they're concerned or have a question.
Yeah.
They could get an instant answer. And, but the idea is tie that with AlphaRank.
Mm-hmm.
Text them directly, talk to them. So it's pretty
cool
stuff.
Wow, that's really neat. Really neat. Can't wait till that comes out. Yep. Definitely. Hey, one of the other things that I wanted to point out in your talk was we are in the McDonald's era of banking. Can you expand on that? I thought this was just like, oh my gosh, so true. So can you expand on that as well?
Sure. Yeah, and this is actually a chapter in the book as well. When I was a kid, you would get hamburgers, and I would get a burger from McDonald's. My mom would buy it for me. It was a special treat because we lived in Germany and there weren't a lot of McDonald's around. So if she took us to McDonald's, that was a big deal. And did you see the movie The Founder?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah.
So if you remember Ray and whatever his name was.
Ray Kroc?
Mac and Ray. Mac and Donald. That's how it became together.
Yeah.
Mac and Donald, they were really focused on this process, and they were very obsessed with it, if you remember.
Yeah.
Do this process, and you have to do it exactly right. And so I would get those little onions on my burger and like a little turd. I'd tell my mom I don't want them, and she'd scrape them off. I'd cry or whatever. I was young. And but even at that age, I was thinking, you know, I'd tell my mom, hey, why don't you just tell them? I thought that she couldn't tell them because she didn't speak German. Mm-hmm. So I gave her the words. I was like, tell them keine Zwiebel. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what? It's a keine Zwiebel, which means no onion. And she said, oh, even if I told them, they wouldn't do it. Right. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Right. And then another company who realized that, you know, people want things personalized. Not all tastes are the same. And tastes evolve as well. Mm-hmm. Came out and said,
have it your way.
Have it your way, which was
Burger King.
Burger King. And so what happened was, is McDonald's failed to adapt to new cooking and new kitchen technology that would allow them to have the same fast food, but also allow them to use computers to customize the orders. Mm-hmm. And so, and you could, to be fair, you could go into McDonald's and order a customized
burger. Yeah, now you
burger.
Can.
No, back then you could too. It's just you had to be willing to wait a year and a half
to get
it because it would break their
process. It would just mess up the whole
process. Right. Yeah. But you know, they failed to adapt. And what I said was, failing to adapt to a process is a little like falling out of a rowboat, but continuing to row, right? Yeah. And so we're doing the same thing. You know, we're insisting that all customers want onions with our mobile banking. We're insisting all of these things. And so we're giving them what we think is the most common homogenized burger order in their finances, but that's not going to last. We're headed towards, you know, I believe the Burger King era, which is, I believe that banks, the next evolution of home banking will be around microservices and APIs where people will buy front ends and presentation layers that they like, and then they will, you know, basically connect in the plumbing of the credit union to get the data the way they want it. And what that led to was, if we lose that model, because credit unions are so used to marketing in those four walls, they're used to marketing in the digital four walls of home banking and the digital four walls of mobile, is that they're going to have to learn to market differently. You know, and I mentioned, have you read Credit Union 2.0?
Not yet.
By Kirk Drake.
Who?
Kirk Drake.
Oh, yeah, I heard that guy.
Yeah. Fantastic book. And so, you know, he talks about digital marketing and how to change that game. Because we're going to have to learn to market like everyone else does.
Yep.
Which means not just depend on them hopefully showing up in our digital four walls. But it's not something that just happens overnight. You have to get good at it. You have to learn it. So these are all things that's what the whole book is about. The book is about my book, Breaking Digital Gridlock, which you can buy on Amazon. And as I said, for every book bought, I will send some money to save baby seals.
Baby seals. I have that written down here. Very noble of you.
I love seals, particularly in baby form. Fresh seals, as I call them.
I have
them.
Lots of little fish on hand to seals. Feed them.
Yeah. But the book itself is not another go digital book. I feel like we have enough of those.
Yeah, we all know that we need to go there.
This is a how.
Right.
Okay. Right. These are and the things I'm talking
the
about
next step.
Are all steps, mm-hmm. and there is lots more in there. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it'll help some people out. There'll be actually a full video course online. Book comes out in February, but you can pre-order now if you go on Amazon. Either put my name in, John Best, or Breaking Digital Gridlock. And okay. We can throw a link on the
sure
on
in the show notes.
Definitely, great,
definitely.
And that was going to be my last question, John Best. Was hey, was give us a quick plug on your. I have it right here on my notes.
You weren't going to sell it, so I had to say it myself.
No worries. Hey. Always a pleasure, indeed. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Last time I saw you was Vienna. Now we're out
there. That's right.
I'm sure I'll see you again before the end of the year.
All over the globe.
And also for anybody else listening, CU Ledger. We're having a lot of meetings about bringing that together. Mm-hmm. Those meetings went very well. Go to CUledger.com. You know, that's a great example of collaborative technology that is going to be an industry game changer. So get involved now. See you later.
What's the time on that? What's the timeline on that? Just to
wrap up. We're in the funding phase, so people are coming to meetings to find out the business models and getting involved. We should be, you know, starting to roll out pilots in the call center space, which is around the self-sovereign identity, hopefully in the first quarter of next year.
Okay.
And, because we did a research project to begin with that actually gave us a lot of results that we could use now as opposed to later.
Okay, very
cool stuff. Well, I'll let you get going. Kirk Drake is right over there waiting for you. He's like pacing like a caged hyena waiting to talk to you. Right. So appreciate your time, sir.
Plug it, because if I didn't, you know, well, you know how he is.
I know.
Get you in a headlock.
I don't want to get hurt. So.
Yeah. All right.
All right, John, always a pleasure, man. Right. Good job.